Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
A save by Lundqvist. Hendrick.
Why not? That's a chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. If that's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin, that's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Welcome to the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. We got so much to do. I don't even know where to start. We have so much to do.
What are you laughing at
right
already?
Here.
Why are you laughing back there?
Right here on the show. We got so much to do, Chris. I'm really excited, but I do have to say a couple of really big shout-outs. A lot of friends on Facebook and other programs and stuff really promoting the show, pushing hard. The Fantasy Guru, we got a lot of people pushing hard for the show. So the numbers have been great, things have been great, the calls have been great. I want to say we really appreciate it. With that being said, let's get into this thing right away. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com. It's located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you have any questions or comments for the show and you'd like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. We're going to cover a lot of things tonight, mostly New York Rangers. We will go around the league. There's so much to talk about. Listen, if you need a website or a page lift or a design, anything technical like that, check out Kotsy's Designs, owned and operated by Cody Kotsopoulos. Cody offers website and blog design, creation of logos, letter marks, combination marks, advertisement flyers, and a hell of a lot more. For more details and contact information, go to KotsysDesigns.com or follow the link located in the link section of the show page. And as always, a great shout-out to the supporters, Pasco County I-9 Sports, always an experience beyond the game. I coached an I-9 for over 7 seasons. And TheFantasyGuru.com, gain the edge in daily fantasy sports. All right. All the fun stuff's out of the way. Kotsy, talk about Quinnipiac real quick. I know you're going this weekend, correct?
Yes, sir. I'll be heading out Friday morning. Bobcats play the Cornell Big Red in the second round of the ECAC conference playoffs. It's best 2 out of 3. They'll be at home for it Friday night, Saturday night. Hopefully it'll be done after Saturday, but if not, and it goes to full 3 games, it'll be Sunday, 3 games in a row. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, playoff hockey is really good, especially in college. These guys, you know, they play with their hearts, and, you know, it's a lot more physical and a lot more nasty hockey, you know, than the NHL really is when it really comes down to it. So it'll be a packed house there in Hamden, Connecticut, and I'm looking forward to being there.
That's funny. When did anybody ever think college hockey would be more physical than the NHL?
Oh, it is. Well, you see what the NHL's done to its game the last 15 years. Come on. Anybody that's been following hockey or is old enough to understand hockey in the NHL for the last, we'll say, 30, 40 years, definitely knows what I'm talking about. How's that?
Right. No doubt.
Even old guys like you.
Yeah, there's no doubt, you know, we've talked about this. I mean, it was how many years, you know, I just kept bashing Gary Bettman and what he did. And, you know, this year it's been light. I haven't even gone that route. If you haven't noticed, Kotsy, I haven't even gone that route.
It's not worth it anymore. You know, it's not worth getting our blood pressure up, you know, because it is what it is. That's what they want. That's what they got. You know, if the fans keep buying it, then – that's their prerogative to do what they want. You know what I'm saying? So I still love the game of hockey, but I could go, let's put it this way. You and I could do a 24-hour show on what is wrong with the NHL. We could.
Yep.
We could.
I know. And honestly, we're starting to get the support. We're, hopefully here soon, we might be doing a lot more than just a weekly show. So,
We could change it from to the Instigators with host Painful Paulie D.
We can ask them.
We're
going to
get into that one later, aren't we?
We are. We're going to talk painful New York Ranger hockey shortly. But let's get started with some things from around the league. The NHL reiterates expansion process is ongoing. It's been quiet about the expansion process lately, Cops. Here's the first article we'll get into. The National Hockey League quickly refuted a report on Monday that said Quebec City was ruled out of the NHL expansion process. Will not comment on their substance or their process, which remains ongoing, said Bill Daly in the statement. No final decisions have been reached, and no recommendations of any kind have been made or communicated by the league office, the executive committee, the NHL Players Association, or the Board of NHL Governors on Monday. But, of course, as the Instigators Hockey Show, the most controversial show in the hockey world, on the air, I had to bring this up. So you heard the article, and here it is. Former NHLer and definite instigator, George Laurent.
George hasn't been able to keep his mouth shut since he started, since he retired.
Exactly, on Montreal Radio, Fan Sports, that the NHL Players Association was informed, in fact, that Quebec City would not be included in any league's upcoming expansion talks. So I had to throw a little instigating out there with my man George Laroque. What do you think, Kotz?
Well, I'm gonna buy what George Laroque has to say. I mean, he's in the province of Quebec. He knows what the temperature's like and what the scuttlebutt is all about. I mean, the NHL is good at hiding stuff, that might possibly, be negative towards them. They've done a good job of that over the years. I'll give them credit for that. So, I probably believe what George is saying. He's retired in Quebec, I think in Montreal, and he's been very outspoken, not only for hockey but politically. I think he tried to run for politics there at one time too. So I think he has a little more insight probably of what's going on than the NHL is leading everybody else to believe. I would buy what George is selling right now.
Look at Cassie. Buying what George is selling on the Instigators Talk Show.
Why not? I mean, when you think about it, I think it's a mistake personally, but that's just me. But there's a lot of factors that are going into this, Paul. I don't know if you've checked my old Canadian dollar, the dollar from my country is way, way below the U.S. dollar right now, too. So that's a big factor right now, too. So,
right.
75 cents U.S. buys a dollar Canadian right now. So, those Canadian franchises right now are hemorrhaging a little extra coin when it comes to paying out their contracts in U.S. money.
Right. And it was probably this time last year, Kotze, we were talking about Las Vegas and who's the big wig out there?
Seattle.
Yeah. Reports about, last year we did a report on, Las Vegas. They were doing, they were actually trying to do the pre-ticket sales. Remember, we did that article?
They met the number that the NHL was looking for. I know that. I mean, I remember that. They checked out to see what season tickets would be like, and I think they had to come up with like 10,500 or 12,500. And I think they met that goal just to let the NHL know that people are interested in having a team in Las Vegas. I think they're going to get a team in Las Vegas eventually. That's just my opinion. I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, we went through this last year. why would you not want to be the first professional sport team, period? Well, let's put it this way. The first professional considered major sport team. Beat baseball there. Beat football there. Beat basketball there. You be the first one. I'd be if I was Gary Bettman, I'd be pushing that big time.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, listen, I get it. I don't know that I agree, but I get it. I mean, I don't know. I think there's you know, it's so much of a transient place. It'd be tough.
Doesn't matter. You got millions and millions of dollars going through that city every week. In the end, business is business. Like, they can sit there and say they want the loyalty of fans, okay? Every organization and every owner and every chairman of the board says that, okay? They want the loyalty of the fans. But in the end, let's call it what it is, Paul. It's a business. You think they would care in Las Vegas if all the casinos got together and bought up 500 tickets a night or something like that and started sending them out to all their big whales and all their big clients to come and drop millions a year there?
Yeah, it makes sense.
As long as somebody's paying for those tickets, nobody would care.
Right. Yeah, hey, listen, it makes sense. It's a good business model, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, let's do this. I got a bunch of topics. I'm all over the place. I have probably every electronic device available to man open right now. TVs are on, laptops are open, the fire is open, the phones are open. There's so much. We're not going to get to all of it, but there are some things that I want to get to. The Ducks chasing the Capitals in the NHL power rankings. I wanted to do this before we got to Ranger news. I think it's important now with what most teams having under 20 games to play. I think the power rankings should be pretty close to being set. Now, here's the funny thing about this. What I like about these power rankings is the adjustment that has been made so quickly, within probably a 2 weeks' time. Here we go. We've talked about the Washington Capitals being ranked number one overall. They are now quickly saying that the Anaheim Ducks are climbing. From last week, just a week ago, they were ranked 14. They are now ranked second in just a week. Kotz, we talked about this, touched a little bit about it last week, Washington Capitals. And, you know, how good they've been this year and coaching and so many other things. Aside from the Capitals, okay, you got the Ducks, you got the Kings, and now the Blues have rated number four, even above Chicago Blackhawks at number five. Out of those teams right there, how do you feel these rankings are sitting for you?
Well, I'm not so sure about the Blues. I mean, we're going to get into it later, but the Rangers beat the Blues, wasn't it, a couple weeks ago in the St. Louis? So I'm not so sure about the Blues. The Ducks are always a good team. They started out, you know, very crapola this year, obviously, and there was rumblings that, you know, guys were going to get traded and Boudreau was going to get fired and all that stuff. But, yeah, since then, they've turned it on. I mean, the talent's there. I mean, I think they're legit.
18-1-1, Kotz.
Yeah, I know. I think they're legit. There's no question about it. But you know what? I'm gonna go back to what I told you last week. You know, other than Washington, and in my mind, they've slipped a bit. Okay, they've slipped a bit. They're not gonna just pound and maraud their way through the Eastern Conference like some people believe. I think they're gonna have a tougher time than a lot of people think. But I don't think there's that one team personally outside of maybe Washington that is that dominant and that scary that everybody should start, you know, buying toilet paper that's like in the 8th slot, 7th slot, 6th slot, 5th slot in the playoffs. I really don't.
Right.
I'm being honest.
Right.
So teams that are fighting for playoff spots right now, should they stop because, you know, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks the Ducks are, you know what I mean, doing whatever they're doing now or Washington's doing now, not even show up. I don't see that this year. I just, for some reason, I don't see that at all. I don't see it dominating by anybody.
Right.
I mean, how does St. Louis go to fourth place? You tell me in the rankings.
Well, I am. I'm going to bring it right now. That's why I'm going to go over it. I wanted your opinion. Now I'm going to go over it. Okay, the Washington Capitals. In part, Braden Holtby has been .899 save percentage in his last 18 games. Hasn't been nearly as dominant as he's been in the first half of the season. And the Anaheim Ducks, the reason they've jumped so far, they're 18-1-1 in their last 20 games. The Ducks have gone from, like you said before, being one of the most disappointing teams in the first half of the season to one of the most dominating squads in the last 20 games, obviously. The Kings are who they are, and they'll always be who they are. I don't care what anybody says. The Kings are just scary. Let's see here. So, the St. Louis Blues, here's why. They went from, you know, last week they were ranked 5. This week they were ranked 4. I don't know where they get it for, but I will tell you this. With a 9-3-1 record in the past 13 games, the Blues have stayed in the race for the Central Division. Despite overcoming a bunch of injuries, goalie Jake Allen, blah, blah, blah. Since January 1st, they tied for the second since January 1st.
You'll get it sooner or later.
Yeah. a lot of goals scoring, a lot of things going on. But
yeah,
they're
but
one of the only teams haven't jumped.
You're wrapping off these numbers that they're 9-3-1 or 9-3-2 or whatever. I don't know what it is. So I'm going to compare it right away to the Rangers, who are like 11-5-3 or something like that in the last 18 games. And St. Louis gets to jump ahead of them after the Rangers went in there and beat them?
Let's see here.
You know
Let's
what I mean? I'm just giving you examples here, you know? Like, it's just all a bunch of, you know what it is, Paulie, the hockey rankings, honestly? Honestly, it's a bunch of Poindexters sitting by their computer that got a degree in nothing from college. You know what I mean? Crunching numbers. That's all that is. That's all it is to me. I mean, give me a break
okay.
here.
Let me read it.
You can read all you want.
I know. Let's have some fun. The Rangers, number 17 this week, 17 last week, 13. So they dropped. Goals for, 2.8. Goals against, 2.56. Let's see. The Rangers have been cruising, 11-4-1 in the last 16 games. Now, this is a couple of days, you know, so it's not 100% accurate. And getting Eric Staal was a nice deadline pickup, but they are going without Henrik Lundqvist right now, and that's the difference maker given on how important he is in backstopping a subpar possession team. I'm just reading the rankings. Don't get mad.
I don't care. You're telling me that these Poindexters are ranking the Rangers 17th?
The power rankings. It's the power rankings for TSN, too. It's coming out of, brother. So, I mean, I'm
they're,
scared
you know
of
what?
The way
you know what? I don't swear very often, but they're all full of shit. How's that?
All right. Well, there it is,
17. Last I looked, they're still in the top 10 in points, and they're ranked 17th.
Yeah, they dropped
what are these
13
people
to 17.
Thinking?
The rankings are.
You know what? This is like the analytics stuff. Analytics don't score goals. Bottom line.
There you go, big boy.
They don't score goals. They
don't
skate. They don't shoot. They don't hit. They don't breathe. They don't move. None of that stuff moves. Anyhow.
Can't get mad at me for reading it, big boy.
I don't get mad at you for reading it. I'm just telling you right now. So if we're to believe these power rankings, the Rangers should just stop playing now, okay? The Flyers shouldn't even bother trying to make the eighth spot. Don't worry about it. It's already Washington Stanley Cup or Anaheim's or whatever. Just, like, stop playing because TSN said so or the hockey news or whatever.
Well, listen, the rankings are just, I mean, they change from
garbage.
Week to week.
They're garbage rankings.
17th. They change from week to week. They change
17th?
From week to week. Yeah, and they were 13th the week before, so they dropped them 4 points.
Even that was a joke, too, 13th the week before. But go anyhow.
So,
Anyhow, we'll move on to the next thing.
We'll definitely get on. I just could give everybody a couple updates right here. Toronto and the Islanders are tied at two. I got some news there. It looks like the Islanders goaltender Halak be out for the rest of the regular season. And they're
he got dinged
really
up
good.
Last night, I think, or wasn't it?
Yeah. And it looks like he's going to be out, they say, a minimum of 6 weeks. So, I mean, it's probably, you know, drawn out a little bit there. But, you know, they're one of the other teams that is on fire. They're 11-2 in their last X amount of games. The other game going on, Chicago, St. Louis. And from what I'm visualizing here, it looks like Revis from St. Louis is probably gone for the day. It looks like he threw an elbow. That's tied at zero right now. It's the end of the first period. And I'll keep you up to date on any other scores that I got here. All right. With that, let's go. I want to get back to the top of this because there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about around the league before we get to some NHL New York Rangers stuff. So, let's see. It was the news and notes. I want to finish up real quick on this. They talked about the... All right, here it is. I want to finish this real quick. 6 weeks for Halak. I can just pull it up real quick. Come on, buddy. 6 weeks for Halak. And they are... Let's see. The timeline would be through the remainder of the regular season and probably into the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's a concern for them right now because they actually have been really picked up. They're going with their backup, Grease, I think. Grease, whatever it is. So that's going to be interesting to see. They're 18-60. They were 18-6-3 until this happened. So I don't know, man. Pretty good stuff there.
Yeah, and what ranking are they?
I don't know. I pulled out of that screen, big
I'm
boy.
I'm just kidding.
I know. You love to just twist the shoe.
Well, come on.
Let's see the new Centennial Classics for January 1st and 2nd of next year. Big deal. Brendan Shanahan was on NHL Tonight and overtime talk. Gary Bettman has made his way. First of all, the other big news is apparently the NHL had done their own investigation on the whole Patrick Kane situation, and I don't have everything in front of me. I'm just going from reiteration of what I remember here. And he's been absolutely cleared by the NHL as well. So that whole debacle should be out of this poor kid's life, and he can get back to being the leading goal scorer in the league.
The only reason why it's been cleared up is because there was something that was, you know, something happened behind the scenes there on that one, okay? Trust me on that. I'm glad for Patrick Kane, okay? But you know there was rumblings when this thing was hottest moment during the summer that there was a little rumblings going on about little, you know, little payroll, little quiet money and all that stuff. I'm not saying that happened, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. How's that? There was a lot of rumblings about that. So, like, I'm just saying.
I know, but so. I will tell you today, for the commissioner to get out of his seat and show publicly today that and broadcast live on TV that that Patrick's been cleared of any wrongdoings and blah, 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 right, you know, obviously through the legal standpoint and stuff, but through the NHL. So he made that announcement today.
I honestly think there was a little something there, just like any young guy would when he parties, you know what I mean, in the off season, but maybe it just didn't meet the standards that the media portrayed it at first. That's possible.
Right.
How's that?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm glad for him because look what he's done. You know, he's finally matured, I told you. Last year, I thought a little bit as a hockey player. Look at him now. I mean, he's probably arguably the best player in the game right now.
Yeah.
He's leading the league in points.
He's the leading goal scorer, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
He's leading, you know what I mean? He's not just leading by a little bit, too. He's leading by a lot.
So, Kotz, let's move forward here. The new Centennial Classics. I know that, you know, one of the things that we've talked about, the outdoor games seem to have, it seemed to have come in like a lion and kind of died. You know, I don't really remember this year being a big year for the Winter Classic and the outdoor type hockey. And, you know, when they first started doing it, you couldn't get enough games. I mean, they did it in Big House in Michigan, and what was that, over 100,000 people were there. Today, I guess the NHL has announced that the Maple Leafs, Blues, Penguins, and Jets will host outdoor games in 2016-17. Of course, Bettman had, you know, stroked that one. A new event classic called the Historic Celebration. Three classic rivalries, two venues playing host, blah, 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 blah. Kotze, first of all, your thoughts on all these outdoor games?
Well, I think it's definitely lost a little bit of its excitement, you know, over the last couple of years with having just way too many of them. Because, you know, I'll just tell you from my own personal feeling, you know, the very first two, I actually was, you know, I sat here and couldn't wait for them to come on the TV to see what it was like and all that stuff. But, you know, honestly, the last one I watched, honestly, was the Rangers-Flyers one. That's, what, 3 years ago now? 4 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't watch them anymore because, you know, there's no thrill to me. But I will say this, though. I still think it's a viable thing for the city that it's in.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing for the cities and you know, organizations where they're hosting it, because you are going to get that travel money. You're going to get the people coming in. There's going to be an influx of cash coming into the city. There's going to be excitement in the city. And if they do, you know, like you said, the Big House, it was the Leafs against the Red Wings, which is a rivalry. You know what I mean? You got to keep the teams kind of rivals playing each other. But my interest is waned on it. Like, honestly, I mean, I haven't watched one of them yet this year because I have no interest in it, to be honest with you. You know, but I can't say that everybody thinks that way. I think a lot of people still enjoy it, but me personally, no. I've lost the. I mean, I played 1,000 of those things growing up as a kid outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you did the alumni,
the open air, and stuff like that. You know,
you did the alumni game with the whale. That was cool.
No, but I'm just saying almost every Canadian kid northern U.S. players that played, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, we did that almost every day, you know, during our hockey season and stuff like that, playing outdoors. So, yeah, it's exciting for a while, but for me it's not anymore. I don't sit there and set my calendar and go, okay, I got to watch the Colorado Avalanche and so-and-so like the last one was. Because you know what, it's not the New York Rangers. It's not a team that I played for. You know what I mean? I have no interest in it, to be honest with you. But I don't want to take it away from the fans either. I mean, the people of Colorado probably, you know, just love it if it's in their city. You know what I mean? Denver. And I think everybody's right. Going to love it when it comes to their city. So those are my feelings on it. But no, I don't sit here and do cartwheels and everything else, going, you know, wow, we're going to have another outdoor game today.
Right.
You want the truth? I'm giving it to you, big boy.
Yeah. All right.
What are you? Are you
quick,
still are you still TiVoing all those games?
Depends. It really depends on the matchup. I mean, I would probably
see
your an original six matchup. I will TiVo if I'm not in town or whatever. But real quick, let me just finish through it because we got so much more to do, and I just want to blow through some of these things and talk about touching it, and I just missed it, and I'm going to check it out, but I think there's a fresh update on the arbitration with Weidman, so I'm going to look while we're doing with the show for the 20-some-odd game suspension. But let me finish the article really quick, one paragraph. In 2017, the NHL will hold a year-long centennial celebration that will feature a variety of ceremonies, recognitions, observances, and special events to highlight 100 years of NHL hockey and recognize the number of milestones and anniversaries for several teams. On Sunday the 1st, it'll be the Leafs and the Wings at BMO Field in Toronto in the Centennial Classic. So I think that's as much as you need right now for that. As we get closer to those situations, we will gladly, you know.
Well, that'll be huge in Toronto, and huge for the people of Michigan.
Yeah.
But quite honestly, I don't think anybody from New Mexico is going to fly up there to go watch the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. All right, so I want to get that out of my screen. I want to get that out of my house. All right, we're done with that. Now, Cots, we can do a couple of things. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to lead you into a little bit of something, and while you're doing that, I'm going to look to see what I can get on the Weidman situation. I think it's really important. McElrath. Obviously, let's talk through your Rangers really quick. McElrath out at least 2 weeks with the knee injury. Dylan missed at least 2 weeks with a knee injury. Suffered in the first period against the Islanders on Sunday. Tatsy, I mean, the kid had surgery in 2012. It's been a long time coming to get, you know, we talked about this. I mean, he was a big pick for the Rangers. The Rangers skipped over players because this was the player that they wanted. They wanted that old-style defenseman who was physical, who could knock people out, who would clear the front of the net. They went and specifically, and you have all the insight on this, and we talked about it for years, they went and they got this kid. And the first year, you know, he blows out his knee. I think it was 2012. Didn't play a lick. I think he played two or three times, and that was it. He gets injured now, Kotz, and I know we talked about Stu Bickel last week. Talk to me. Calm the Ranger fans down. Talk about McElrath and what you think, hopefully. I mean, you've suffered some injuries, too. I don't know that you've suffered detrimental knee injuries, but talk to us.
No, I think he's just banged up a little bit. First of all, it's not the knee that he tore up a couple years ago. So that's a positive thing. And I just think, you know, he's 100% healthy to go. And, you know, they bring up Brady Shea. You know, he's no problem to play. I like his future and stuff like that. But I'm not worried about Dylan McElrath. I think he'll be back, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks, just like, you know, like Rick Nash should be back in another week. So I think it's more precautionary with Dylan McElrath right now. And the way they're using him right now is actually okay with me, too. You know, they're not playing him every game, but there's certain teams they got to play him against. And he's still an important part of the team when they play certain style teams, like when they play the Phillies, the Islanders, you know, the teams that are more physical. It's good to have him in the lineup. But, you know, he was the guy they wanted. You're right, out of the draft a few years ago. But you got to remember, too, one other thing. When Mick McElrath was drafted, he was also drafted under a different coaching staff, you know,
staff.
that might have used him a little bit more, you know, than the coaching staff presently uses him. So, you know, it's just I'm happy for the guy. I don't think he's going to be out too long. I think, again, it's just more precautionary. I think he's done a great job for the Rangers and filled in just great. You know, he's done his job when called upon. How's that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. He's my favorite player.
And obviously the game's changed from 3 years ago, 4 years ago when he got drafted. I understand that. You know, the game's changing every year where they're trying to get rid of that big, tough, you know, stay-at-home, you know, drop your gloves every now and then type player. The league doesn't want that really anymore. Let's call it what it is. And so that's why I think Dylan McElrath, as you watch him play, he's getting better and better at reading stuff. And his passing is really pretty damn good. I watch him out there. You know, he doesn't do anything fancy. You know, he's not going to make any of those, like, you know, wild Matt Zuccarello passes on you or anything like that. You know what I mean? But he does the basics very well. I think that's what he's going to improve on so he can stay, you know, in the National Hockey League for a long time, not just be there for his bulk and his brawn. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. All right. I'm not having any success right now. It might show up shorter, but I think there is an update on the Weidman situation. I'm very curious to see. I know he was going to arbitration. The NHLPA was going to try and fight the 20-game suspension, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago. So
They should have.
And something's going on. So if I can get it in tonight's show, I will give us the update. If I have any listeners out there that want to do a little research for us and maybe message me on either Facebook or inside the show page or whatever, if you can give us an update or give me a link where I could find an update on the Weidman situation as we continue to move forward, because I want to get into New York Ranger hockey now because it's after 9 o'clock. Do you want to talk about Alain Vigneault's discussions? Do you want to talk about...
No, whatever you want to start with. You got the topics. Let's go.
I want to do this one first, big boy. 1-0 Chicago, by the way. Just telling it late in the second, middle of the second period. What the Penguins and others said about Henrik Lundqvist knocking the net over in the Pittsburgh game. I thought this would help. We'll probably, after this, we're going to hit some phone lines. So get ready, guys, because I want to hear your opinions. But this, once again, being the Instigators Hockey Show, you got to stir the pot. So here we go. The New York Rangers goalie, Henrik Lundqvist, pushed over the net to cause a stoppage of play after being shaken up in a collision with teammate Ryan McDonough during the second period of the NHL hockey game against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh. Rangers were issued a delay of game penalty in the action. Here's the important part. These are some of the excerpts from Twitter and around social media. Braden Holtby said that he would have done the same thing Henrik did if he was injured on a play, and felt the penalty was unwarranted. When asked how he felt about Henrik Lundqvist flipping over the net, Marc-Andre Fleury said, "I think that's baby stuff." Fleury says that he gets mad at times, and he'll smash his stick, but he'll never push the net over and get a penalty. And Carl Hagelin had something to say after the game. Lundqvist is a competitive guy, and he lost his composure, which is good for us. Now, Kotz, you've been in the game. You played the game a long time. Obviously, you've never had this kind of social media and the talk and all this kind of stuff. You get to hear everybody's crap. First of all, I'll tell you what. You take it from here, and then I want to throw in my opinion.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen that happen, quite honestly, where a goaltender just, like, out of the blue just decides to throw that off the moorings, you know what I mean, off the pipes there. The response out of Fleury I thought was a little childish. I mean, you know, just keep to yourself. I mean, you don't know what he's thinking. You don't know what the goaltender's thinking. But that's, you know, obviously there's a little bit of, fire going on there between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Rangers at the time. So Fleury, after a game, you know, he's going to make his comment, and he did what he did. And Holtby kind of came out and defended Henry Lundqvist on that, but I don't think I've ever seen that happen where a goaltender, I've seen like the nets come off in the middle of a flurry of a play where you're thinking you're going to get scored on, stuff like that, where goalies lean on it, and even I've probably knocked a net off or two in tight, stuff like that, but this is clearly out of the blue. I mean, I think I was kind of shocked when it happened. I think everybody else, you know, that was watching the game that night on TV probably thought the same thing, but, what's a goaltender supposed to do when he feels like he's kind of hurt? You know what I mean? Is he supposed to flip his mask off? I mean, you know, when a goaltender loses his mask, they blow the whistle immediately. So I don't know. Right. I don't know what the justification is for a goaltender to get the official's attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess that got the attention pretty good. I mean, but getting a penalty for it, you know, again, You would under any other circumstances, Paul. You know that. If I knock the net off or if he knocks the nets off intentionally during the action in front of the net, you know you're going to get a penalty. You know?
Right.
Probably nine times out of 100. So I think it's much to do about nothing. It happened. He got a little angry that, you know, the official wasn't paying attention to him. And, you know, and Fleury saying what he's going to say and Holtby backing him up. Very unusual situation, but, you know, to me, it was kind of, like, funny in the end.
Right. Okay, so, first off, no doubt, and that goes off like that purposely, yeah, the delay of penalty for sure. Here's where I'm going to comment. Here's what makes me laugh. I don't know if it's just because I'm too analytical. So, it's babyish, he said. I think it's baby stuff. Mark Armaturi Flores says. Really? But taking your stick and smashing it into a million pieces against the goalpost, that's a very mature thing to do. come on. If he would have been more diplomatic and said, listen, I get the frustrations. You know, I smash my sticks. It's unfortunate he put his team down with a penalty. But to say it's baby stuff and then to come back and turn around and say, but I'll smash my stick a billion times. I mean, you got to be a real jackass. That's all I have to say. I mean, that was thought out. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. I thought it was important. And again, I'm going to educate every possible topic.
Yeah, I agree. I did say it's kind of childish what he said. I mean, but, you know, it's the heat of the battle, and there's a little fire between those two teams. Let's face it, the Rangers have basically eliminated in the last couple of years almost or something like that in the playoffs, so they're not real happy about it. It was a very unusual situation. I don't think I've ever seen it happen quite like that in all my years of hockey. How's that?
All right. No, I get it. All right, so real quick, one of the other big topics here. John Scott, made some news, didn't he?
About the movie? They're making a movie on him.
I know, but here's the best one. Coyotes to Norty suspended 20 games.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wasn't that the trade? Wasn't he part of that trade?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he was part of that trade.
Yes, he was. He got caught with some kind of PEDs, and now he's going to be suspended for 20 games. And he's taking full responsibility about taking something that he didn't know was on the list and all that. So, but then again, you know, I'm hearing this everywhere. Maria Sharapova from tennis. I mean, it's almost like you better not drink this. It might be on the list. You better not do that. It's on the list. I mean, what's not on the list these days for these athletes that they can't take anymore? I don't know. It's becoming a little bit of a joke. But 20 games is a pretty stiff penalty, don't you think, for a first-timer?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like you said, you know, how often does the list change and things like that, but what a shame. 20 games, young man, is going to have this on his record for the rest of his life. And he has,
what constitutes a performance-enhancing drug, though? It's like, you know, like every time we hear that, we usually think steroids right away, you know. But now, you know, it's got to the point now where sometimes it could be a nose spray. It could be this, that, or you know, something crazy like that where they're saying, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's so convoluted and so mixed up. I have no idea anymore. I don't have a clue. And I don't think they're going to tell you exactly what he took unless somebody does some deep digging or something like that. But it's too bad, you know. It's too bad. I played against his father. His father was a tough, mean guy. I actually made an All-Star team, you know, and all that stuff. And yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, that somewhere down the line that, you know, that he's forgiven and he's allowed to get back into it. I mean,
yeah.
Again, it's the list. It's the list. You got it. These athletes today, Paulie, are just so, under such a scrutiny of a magnifying glass. It's not funny anymore. They got to be careful. You can't even take an antihistamine. You can't take this. You can't take that. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's just like really, you know, like wow.
Yeah. Obviously, Tenorti came out today and said, "I did not knowingly take any banned substances." And apparently the way the league does it is they take two separate tests. They have to confirm two separate tests. So, it is what it is. I don't know how that works.
Did he take something medicinally that his trainers gave to fix a cold or a flu, or you know what I'm talking, a sickness, or anything. You know what I'm trying to say? Or I got, honey, I got a migraine. Give me a couple of your pills. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just, I'm throwing all these examples. It's got to the point now where you, if you get sick, you're afraid to take something, or because you're going to get suspended.
Yeah. It's just under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, the suspension is accompanied by mandatory referrals, but it doesn't say, it says substance abuse and behavioral health for evaluation and possible treatment. It doesn't say what the substance was or anything like that. So, you know, it'll be curious as they get more and more into this. But obviously something's known because they've already stepped up and suspended it indefinitely without pay. So, like you said, you know, could it be this? Could it be that? So there are some of the big topics from around the league. If you want to know the scores, real quick, I'll give you the scores. And then we're going to get into the phones. We're going to hit New York Rangers hockey. We're going to hit the ad. So Islanders and Maple Leafs look like they're still tied at two. The Hawks are up 1-0 on the Blues. And that's all that we have for live events right now. I am real quick going to hit the ad, and then we'll be back, and we'll take some phone calls, and we'll talk to New York Rangers hockey.
Attention fantasy sports lovers. Love betting and playing fantasy sports, but can't seem to gain the winning edge? Do you need in-depth analysis and predictions? Now is the time to join TheFantasyGuru.com. Yep, I'll say it again. TheFantasyGuru.com. That's TheFantasyGuru.com. TheFantasyGuru.com can give you the fantasy winning edge. TheFantasyGuru.com analysis and predictions has already produced over $1 million in fantasy sports results. Get the fantasy winning edge now. Have fun and win. TheFantasyGuru.com. Join today.
All right. And that's out of the way. We'll do the instigators one in a little while. You know, we're going to have Danny on one of these days talk about the fantasy guru, actually, and all that cool stuff.
Because, you know what he does? He sends me all these photos on Facebook of his tickets that he's cashed in at all these casinos and stuff. It's amazing. Everywhere he goes, you know, we got to hang out with him for like a week one week. We'll probably turn into like millionaires. Just whatever he does, let's just bet the same way he bets. Because I'm telling you, he's got to be one of the luckiest guys in the world. But then again, there's some skill behind it, too. So, I mean, I've been around him, you know. He tells me a couple of weeks ago he never buys scratch-off tickets. He buys a scratch-off ticket and wins $500. It just keeps coming and coming for him when it comes to all his good fortune.
Yeah, and what we're going to do is...
And he's a great guy.
He is a great guy. What we're going to do is, obviously beside the ad, he's going to do some exclusives right here on the show. It's one of the topics you know, we're soon going to start covering. Fantasy sports gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And he's going to have a little bit of a segment here that he's only going to share on the show. He's not even going to share on his site. He's only going to share some fantasy with us right here
exclusive
on the show. So that's right. That'll be a lot of fun. And again, thefantasyguru.com has a million plus in money made in fantasy sports. So check it out. The memberships are almost practically nothing. And, you know, if you're into fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports, baseball's coming around, you know, all that kind of stuff. You want to beat everybody in the pool? That's where you're going to do it. I mean, he's got the proof. He's got so much proof. All right, let's do New York Rangers hockey. Let's talk about Alain Vigneault's discussion, some of the things in practice and games and all kinds of stuff, and we'll go in and out. And so if you guys want to start ringing the phone, it is 917-889-3844. Go ahead and start calling in, guys, because we're going to run through some phone calls as we run through some of these topics. So here we go. Rick Nash is progressing really well and has joined his teammates in skating. So now they haven't officially released, but they're talking by the weekend. Rick Nash, more than likely, well, Lundqvist should be back in for the weekend, and Rick Nash, it's possible, is still day-to-day. Let me hit some of these real quick. Let's see. He isn't sure if Nash will play this weekend. Needs to get a few more practices and take some contact, but he's been looking real positive to this point. Dylan is day-to-day, hurting his knee. Stahl's still having back spasms in and out. And Henrik won't be back until he's 100%. So, Cats, you know, that's the other thing. I know, you know, I get hard on the team and blah, blah, blah. They've come into, you know, a rash of late injuries here. Losing Rick for quite a while. You know, Hank's a big part of that thing. But then, you know, a couple of odds and ends. You got Stahl in and out of the lineup being hurt. You got McElrath in and out of the lineup getting hurt. Obviously, number one here is Henrik Lundqvist. Got to get him to be Henrik Lundqvist. And then number two is how soon before Rick Nash? Hopefully Rick Nash can come back and get some chemistry built, and hopefully that Stahl trade will make something happen, or else this team, I don't know, Cops. Go ahead.
No, I already know how you feel, so I'm gonna go over it, you know, like point by point there. I'm gonna reiterate what I said last week. I mean, expectations weren't high this year compared to the years past. There's no question about that. The players have the expectations, the organizations do, but I think the fans in general kind of understood a little bit that it might be a little bit of a transition year and stuff like that. But really, when you really think about what's going on with this team, you know, Henrik Lundqvist gets dinged up in Pittsburgh. Rick Nash, you know, suffers a severe bruise. You know, I'll be honest with you, I think it's all just being precautious and safe. I think they realize that there's really nothing to fight for when it comes to, okay, we're going to be first overall in the East this year. I mean, obviously Washington's got that by a mile on everybody. So I think the Rangers are just trying to maintain their position in the standings there, Paulie, where, you know, let's just get into the playoffs and get everybody healthy. I mean, you think about it. This team's done pretty damn good without Rick Nash in the lineup. And I know a lot of fans are really sour on Rick Nash, but they shouldn't be, okay? He's still an important player on this team. He still needs to be on the ice and healthy when they enter the playoffs, because he's just another guy that the other team has to worry about. And really, like I've said before, as a defenseman, he'd be probably one of the only guys I worry about, because I know his size and his speed and stick-handling ability is much more superior to really anybody else on that roster as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, and getting Stahl, I mean, he looked good the other night, picking up a goal and assist, and he's starting to settle down. And I think fans love the idea of him, you know, winning a lot of faceoffs, although I'm kind of, like, stuck why he wasn't on the ice on that draw with a minute to go against the Islanders, but you know, that's water under the bridge now. I'd like to see this team, when it's totally healthy with about 2 weeks to go, get in a kind of groove, and then we'll see what they're going to be like in the playoffs. I'm jumping ship on this team. I don't see that big juggernaut that we're all going to like take our money out of the bank tomorrow to just slam it down at Vegas right now and say, oh yeah, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm going to bet my life on it. I don't see that, and I don't see that in the Washington Capitals right now either. Be quite honest with you. The numbers look good, everything looks great, but like I told you last week, until I see you know who with the Stanley Cup over his head, you know, seeing's believing, and I ain't seen it yet. So I just want the Rangers to get healthy, maintain the pace, stay in the top four, you know, hopefully out of the eight, and go from there. But just stay healthy and be healthy going into the playoffs, and we'll see. Because, you know, there's another thing here that you and I, you know, might not have talked much about, but and it's not like they're big, ferocious guys, but when you really think about it, with Rick Nash in the lineup and Stahl up front, and even a guy like Stahlberg, okay,
right,
they're actually pretty big up front now.
Yeah, heavy. Yeah, they're getting heavy. Sure,
they're actually pretty good sized up front again with Hayes. You know what I mean, up there? So
Hayes.
I think the grind won't be as tough on them this year in the playoffs either, because of the newfound size that they've added with Stahl and Stahlberg this year. I really do. Right. I think it's going to make a difference, you know. And, of course, course, you got Zuccarello having a great year, and you got Broussard having a pretty good year. But I want them to. I would like to see them play big in the big games, not just like every now and then. Like they played good against Buffalo last night, but they didn't play very well against the Islanders. You know what I mean? I thought as a top line, you know, and stuff
right.
like that. But
yeah.
You know, and just actually, I just want to see them get healthy, Paul. I'm not jumping off a cliff. I'm not hanging on the cliff with my fingertips. I still think there's a possibility they could do some damage in the East. Because again, I mean, Tampa is another team that everybody was talking was going to be great this year and super and powerful and all that. And they're good, but they're not great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. I think they're starting to come together.
There is a sleeper out there,
though,
right now. There's a sleeper out there right now, team that everybody's sleeping on right now.
Let's see.
That's the Bruins again. It's the Bruins again.
Yeah, they seem to have gotten heated up, haven't they?
Yeah.
They seem to be all right.
They're just quietly moving along.
Yeah, well,
that's my feel on the Rangers, Paul. I know you got a lot to say, so I'm going to be your psychiatrist here because you know I'm going to start nicknaming you Painful Paulie D soon. So go ahead, give me your thoughts on what you think.
Well, you know what, I'm going to continue running through a lot of these things, and I'll rehash you know the subjects that I feel are really important. A lot of people have asked, and a lot of things have been mentioned. The media has discussed and even been brought to, you know, AV's attention. I know there's been articles now, you know, talking about, hey, you know, now people starting to doubt AV after his third year. And, you know, here's something else. It was also discussed on what he needs to see from JT Miller. The same good elements from his game that we have seen from this year. It looks like, JT has been a little bit of a whipping boy lately. He's been juggled and dropped down. And there's a lot of discussion there on what AV feels JT's not doing. And actually, I have the article somewhere, but I'll just hit it real quick in my brain, reiterate. It was discussed. This late in the season, should a coach be trying to continue to make a player like JT Miller uncomfortable? And you know what, Cops, you know, I know you've talked about, you know, we've had so many discussions about different styles of coaches and this and who does that and blah, 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 and the whole nine yards, but JT Miller has been a concern. And I know earlier in the season we've talked about, and I have yet to see, Kevin Hayes be the player that I really thought he was going to be. And that's another one that we've had conversations about maybe hasn't been developed properly or treated right, have been a little bit more of a whipping boy. And I wanted to get a couple of your points on that.
Well, first of all, about JT Miller, I find it hard to believe that he's the only guy that makes mistakes on the ice. I mean, I can go up and down the list from goaltender on the team to the captain of the team and everybody who at times this year looked really, really bad during a game. I mean, let's call it, it's hockey, you know, you make mistakes and stuff like that, but I also do remember, you know, debating with you a few years ago when John Tortorella was pointing out a few guys that you didn't like at the time getting a little bit of a whipping boy treatment and stuff like that. So it's too bad. You know, all coaches do it, Paulie. There's a guy, one or two guys that they pick on, and JT Miller seems to be the guy. I don't get it personally because I think he's played pretty good. Yeah, he still makes some mistakes, but, you know, everybody does. And Kevin Hayes has been a big disappointment to me. Really big disappointment.
Yes.
He's got the hockey intelligence. He's got the skill, okay? And he's got the imagination. He's got just about everything you'd want in a big, tall, lanky center like him. But what he hasn't figured out yet, as far as I'm concerned, this isn't college hockey anymore. You can't play with that kind of mindset that you're still in college and you dominate. You're not dominating in this league unless you put the effort and the work into it. I think that's where the Rangers have a little problem with him. Deep down,
yeah.
they don't think he works hard enough. I mean, that was the rumblings earlier, and I'm not saying it for truth, but that, I know that that's what it was said in the New York Post over the season and stuff like that. So I'm not worried about this. I don't think those are the biggest problems for the Rangers right now. And JT Miller's going to be fine. I mean, he's another one that I should add in that list too. He plays with a little bit of grit, and he plays physical. And you know, he's dropped the gloves a couple times this year, and he's not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to get his nose a little dirty once in a while. And he's got some skill. So, you know, again, I'm looking for this team to settle down, get healthy, maintain the pace they're in, head into the playoffs with a good frame of mind and healthy. Those are the two keys. And then from there, you're going to need the Hazes of the world. You're going to need the JT Millers of the world. You just can't count on Rick Nash and Zuccarello and all these guys. Everybody has to pitch in here. You have to get unexpected offense from players that you don't expect it from. That's how you win Stanley Cups.
Right.
Anyhow, that's what I think.
Let's see here. Avery said, JT is a lot like Krejci. He's a power forward. These guys need to get in on the forecheck, utilize their bodies and retrieve pucks. Utilize their bodies to protect pucks, make plays in the offensive zone and the D zone. They need to be solid. And when they have the opportunity to make a good play, good board play, and clean out the zone. You know what, Kotz? I think...
Well, he does have a point there. Okay? AB does have a point there. That some of these guys that he's talking about, JT, Kreider, and Hayes, I'm going to include Hayes, they do make some like some pretty dangerous passes in the neutral zone and just inside or out just over their blue line. They've been known to do that. But, you know, again, I'm going to remind you, everybody listening, they're not the only ones. Some of the guys
right.
have been in the leagues forever on the Rangers team do the same thing. It's a game right. of mistakes. It's not all about being perfect.
Right,
you know,
sure.
Rather than constantly harping on it, I would be trying to boost their morale. That's me personally.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I'd be doing to these guys.
Here's what I see. I mean, I think JT has had I think this is the season where JT has turned the corner. There's no doubt about it for me. Anyway, and development and the whole
and
nine yards.
And
they should
add a Kreider to that size thing too, Paulie. Think about it. That's another big body.
Yeah. I did when you were talking about it. But I want to move forward because I do want to talk about Kevin Hayes. I think Hayes has really been... we said a disappointment, but I thought he was supposed to be an X factor for this team, to be honest with you. And I thought that was another reason why it was discussed when they moved Declare for Yandle. They felt that, you know, Kevin Hayes was the right player and a playmaker and that kind of player. Now, there's no doubt he has the capabilities because we've seen it. Here's the thing I've noticed about Kevin Hayes, and correct me if I'm wrong or whatever. I mean, I'm not his coach, but for me, he seems so indecisive. He doesn't, you know, for years it was always know what you're going to do. You've always said years, you know, keep your head up. There's certain attributes, there's certain things that you remember as a player that are just, you got to keep it simple sometimes. And I think with Hayes, like you said, he does a lot of silly things. He's not decisive. He's got the puck. He needs to decide, am I making this pass or am I shooting it? He tries to hold it. He tries to get cute. He tries to dip around. He tries to do something different, whatever it is. And it's that not being decisive that I think has really, really hurt his game. Because when he was being decisive, when he was shooting on that or making that pass, the quick pass that he needed to make, whatever it was, he seemed to be a much more offensive threat and physical than I've ever seen him before. This year he's been very disappointing.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to say, though. That's what I mentioned, the college thing. I think sometimes he believes he's still in college where he was a man against boys. know, and he can take a little longer with the puck and take his time. Well, this is the NHL. This is you want to talk about the fast lane. I mean, people have no idea what it's like. We watch this game from our chairs and from the stands and stuff like that. And, you know, the players, they know what it's like on that ice. And you got split decisions. You got to make these decisions in split seconds. It's so fast and so quick. That's why I always talk about, like, watching certain players. You know, you just watch them. They make the right decisions 9 times out of 10. Why? Because their brain keeps up with their body.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think with Hayes, sometimes he gets a little lazy. I agree. He gets a little lazy. And he still thinks he's got, you know, that college time. Well, it's not college time anymore. It's NHL time. The speed is so much quicker. It's so true. I mean, like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like you go and playing a little baseball at the park with some guy that played in the minor leagues. You know what I mean? When he throws that ball at you, you know, it's still going to come in at 90 miles an hour. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference between the National Hockey League speed, college speed, American Hockey League speed, East Coast speed, junior speed. Trust me, it's huge. And your decision-making has to be quick, sharp, and you better hit the right button 9 times out of 10 or you'll be exposed.
Yeah.
And
no,
if you are a playmaker, which Kevin Hayes is, because he still shows really, really good signs of excellent playmaking, when it deteriorates a little bit, you become exposed. It's like the stay-at-home defenseman. If a stay-at-home defenseman just makes basic passes over and over and over again, and they're complete, you don't pay attention to him that much as a fan, because guess what? He does the same thing night after night consistently. But you do pay attention to a playmaker who's trying to make plays, and all that keeps happening is it gets screwed up.
Right.
Then you start paying attention.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with Hayes this year. I think he's been a little bit of a disappointment, but I still think there's time for him to rebound this year. He's got less than 20 games to go, and he's going to be key in the playoffs. Trust me, he's going to have to be.
Yeah. Like you said, and I'm going to touch on it real quick. Wayne Vigneault said that adding Eric Staal gives the Rangers another big body player, along with Rick Nash, Chris Kreider, JT Miller, who are strong in front of the net. Vigneault said that in front of the net, you need to pitchfork and slash and hack, and goalies are so good that now that you rarely beat them with the initial shot. You know, with the help of Eric and the other players, there's no doubt. You know, we have a little more in front of the net. Eric said the Rangers have big bodies who are able to get ugly in front of the net. The way the game is now, there's a lot of point shots, a lot of second chances. You got to get hungry. You got to be in front, and you got to get in front of the goalie for rebounds and things like that. So just like you reiterated, this team, there's no doubt this team's bigger than it was last year. You had Marty, you had Haglund, you had Zuccarello, you had lot, you know, three forwards that, you know, together weren't just barely reached the top of the board.
It's hard to say it, but it's the facts, and one of them's in the Hall of Fame for sure. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I wish Marty would have came 10 years ago, actually, to the New York Rangers. Oh, you know me, Todd. I've been saying that forever. I love Marty St. Louis, and I actually thought he had more hockey left in him. But it is what it is, and it is. And that's it. But getting to what your point was, and it's a great point, positive point for New York Ranger fans before we get into painful Paulie type stuff, but the Rangers are bigger up front, and that could really bode well in the playoffs, like we said, Staal and Soha. You know, and then, you know, that's key if these guys can do what they got to do. Let's get into some of the painful things. You talked about it before.
Hold on, I gotta get my pad and paper out.
We talked about it before. Zuccarello and Broussard, having good, you know, having their breakout seasons, having the most points they've had, and you know, doing lots of good things. But the inconsistencies, the areas of not getting it done when it has to get done. So many times you've reiterated, you know, I'm so tired of hearing statistics. You could win 1,000 faceoffs, but if you lose the one big one, you know, at the end of the game in the defensive zone, the one you really had to win, and you lose that one, you know, I don't want to hear the statistics. The statistics are great, but Kotze, I don't know, on the backs of Zuccarello and Brassard, I just don't see it. You know, we don't have the Taves and the Canes and the Hosses and the Ovechkins and the Tavareses and all these types of, the New York Rangers don't have that. Believe me, I get it. They have a lot of equal scoring, more than they've had in such a long time. It was always seemed feast or famine. It was, you know, Rick Nash on a record year with 45 goals, and then everybody else was just pooping the bed, and, you know, that was it. You had maybe two 20-goal scorers, and everybody was in the teens. This team, for the first time, has got a couple of guys. They got 20 goals. They got, you know, I think they have four players with 20 goals or more, correct? So I get it, but I don't see it, and that's where it's painful. Last night's game, Kotze, was painful for me to watch. It should have been a lay down. It should have been a walkthrough. I get it. Buffalo's a hard-working team. They picked up some cool players, good players, blah, blah, blah. Balsman's a good coach. It still should have been a lay down. It still should have been a walk in the park after a 3-0 lead. This team gives away leads. They lay back. It looks ridiculous. I mean, at what point is their confidence level going to be good enough where they can come in, win some hockey games convincingly, and put a program together? I just don't see it. I don't see this team winning a Stanley Cup with these players.
Well, again, we went through this last week. The probability of that happening is probably not good, you know what I mean? But I still think you're selling them, maybe not totally short, but you're selling them short, because you I know this for a fact, people listening tonight, you didn't watch the Washington game, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, there you go. So you're going to base your painfulness off of the Islander game, which they started slow, came back, fought back. And really, one bad face-off cost them the game after they fought back pretty with a lot of, you know, I thought a lot of gusto there, personally, coming back from being down 3-0.
They haven't beat the Islanders all year, though, Cots.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. What are you, though? The Islanders are having trouble with the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, so what difference does that make? I know one team they've beaten a few times this year, and that is the Washington Capitals. Twice in Washington this year.
Okay.
And I haven't heard you say anything about that. I'm just giving
you're
you
right.
examples.
You just seem to put
the blinders on the night. The Washington Capitol game turned into a tense, tough game, and the Rangers did their usual back-off thing, but they were never behind in the game. And if it wasn't for some shit goal that they scored when it was 2-0 Rangers, the Capitals were nothing that night up till then. Ovechkin had one shot on goal. But you're going to use what you see against the Buffalo Sabres as your painfulness? I don't know.
I saw the Islander game too, buddy. That game was painful too.
Yeah, that was painful too, but you know what? They fought back. They came back.
Right.
You know, and really should have got at least a point out of it. You know, again, it was just, you know, a little misjudgment on who should have taken the face off. But that happens in hockey. But I still say, you know, this team sucks so bad, why are they still in the top 3 or 4 in the East? Why? I need an explanation out of you. Anybody that calls in, I need an explanation.
Listen,
if they suck that bad.
Listen to me. I didn't say they suck.
Yeah, you are. You're basically saying that they suck. you're basically saying that they should give it up. Don't even think about it. Don't try. You can't win a Stanley Cup. Don't even put the effort in. That's basically what you're saying. What does it sound like you're saying then?
I'm listening. I'm voicing my opinion on what I've seen
and
so far.
How does
and
it sound?
I have said several times, and I said in the beginning of the year, and I've said, listen, what do I keep saying? I keep saying they're pretenders, not contenders. They have a good hockey club. They have a good hockey club. They're going to make playoffs. I get it. They're got 80-something points. They're going to, who knows where they're going to fall, blah, 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 da, da, da. I get it, okay? I get that. They're a good hockey club on the back of Henrik Lundqvist, okay? And that's the X factor here. The goaltending has to be sickly superb night in and night out. But at the end of the day, I get it. They're a good team. Okay, I'm not saying that they suck, but we're talking about a window of this team has to win. They have mortgaged the future once again. Okay, they've given up a lot. They've gone out. They've gotten Yandles. They've gotten Stalls. They've gotten St. Louis. They went out and they have mortgaged and mortgaged and mortgaged and mortgaged. It's time to win. This team, for the mortgaging that they've done, for everything that has gone on, has not impressed me. This team should look like a Washington Capitals dominant team that's got their shit together, ready to go in the last 16 games where everything should be a cruise. They should look like the Chicago Blackhawks and the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and they don't to me. That's my point.
And you just mentioned four out of the four teams you just mentioned, three of them haven't won a Stanley Cup in the last 10 years, 20 years. Anaheim won one time. Washington's never won one.
Right.
Yeah, so, you keep pumping me the Washington story. Again, well, I hope we're still doing a show when they lose in the second round or something like that to the Rangers. How's that sound? I hope it happens.
Hey. I get it, but
it's going to be all me for an hour and a half, and you're just going to have to sit there with your elephant ears and take it.
Listen, you know what I'm trying to say, and I love, that's why the show is called The Instigators. It's awesome.
I'm not buying into anybody's garbage, yours, mine, anybody's about how Washington is this big beast and stuff. Yes, they look great on paper. That's the key. Just like when the Rangers won the East Division, 2 years ago and set record and all that stuff, remember?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but that team
Washington's,
was very
Washington's
much
a lock to win the Stanley. Is Washington a lock in your mind to win a Stanley Cup?
No, they're not a lock to win a Stanley Cup. They're not. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, I just asked you that rhetorically.
What I am saying, though, Coffee, is if you look around the league, let's pull Washington out of the scenario here.
Yeah.
Look at Chicago, okay, which is definitely today's modern day, I would think, you would have to call today's cap, hockey. They're the closest thing you can get to a dynasty because they're winning. They're constantly competing. They're constantly winning. I don't know that there's going to be repeaters with the way that the cap is so strong. 1-2 years, yeah, but get more than that, I don't know. But anyway, you look around the league and about the teams that we're talking about, Chicago's, the Kings, What I'm trying to reiterate, and maybe I'm just not getting my point across. I agree with you. They're a good team. I get those things. But what I'm feeling in my heart is that I look at the teams that have been winning the last couple of years, okay, and I look at this team, and I look at how much this team has mortgaged because they feel like, and we all do really, that the window has closed. And I don't see them as close as those teams like Chicago and like you know, L.A. and, you know, just and like you just said, you know, Boston. I don't know where Boston is, but
too, Paul. L.A. didn't make the playoffs last year either. You remember that, right?
Yeah, I know. I get it.
Forgetting about. Yeah, they won two Stanley Cups, but they also mortgaged the future too, and it cost them a season last year for mortgaging the future. And I understand it's well worth it. Okay.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think it's pretty unfair for either one of us to continue to use Chicago as an example, because no team in the league has what Chicago has. Period. Plain and simple. You have teams that have two great players up front, but they don't have two great players up back. You have teams that have two great players on the back line, but don't have two great players up front. Chicago has kept those four guys we're talking about. Seabrook, Keith, Taze, and Kane. Name me another team that can put those four guys up together. Not Washington, not Tampa. Nobody can throughout the league, period, as far as I'm concerned. So that's pretty unfair to use it towards Chicago. Remember, Chicago's a team also that couldn't keep Brendan Saad on their team, who was very instrumental in their last Stanley Cup win, remember? Couldn't keep him there because of the money thing. They had to trade Sharp. They had to trade Sharp away because they couldn't keep him there with the money thing. They got rid of a goaltender after their first Stanley Cup year. Remember that one? Can't remember his name now. I'm just saying. I mean, it's unfair to use Chicago because Chicago has, if you want to go rank number one to four, who's got the top four players on one team in the NHL? It's Chicago by far. It's not the Washington Capitals. It's not Tampa Bay. It's not the Ducks. It's not St. Louis or L.A. It's the Chicago Blackhawks. Well, so that's kind of like, it's very unfair to try. I think what you and I are both saying is we should strive to be that way. But it's not that easy, because if it's that easy, every team would be doing it.
Yeah, no crap.
You know, like it was that easy. If we could just pluck a couple of Duncan Keiths out of the draft in the next 2 years, and a Seabrook to back him up, and then oh boy, look at this. We got two Jonathan Tays coming in our fifth round and seventh round here. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes organizations just get really, really lucky. You know what I mean?
So I am going to sit here and I'm just going to ask, I get what you're saying, and, you know, people are going to say what they want to say. I know how I feel in my heart of hearts, but
there's nothing wrong with your opinion. I'm not totally dismissing your opinion here. I just want to see what happens when this team gets Nash back, gets Lundqvist going again. And all these guys are playing together the last 2 weeks of the season. And when they get into the playoffs, we will see. That's why it's an unknown with this team right now, because they haven't played with Rick Nash for 2 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just got Stahl on the team. You know, and a couple of these guys have not lived up to their expectations this year, but they still have time to turn that around.
I love it.
And playoffs
is
a whole different ball game. You could throw the season, all your seasonal records and all your numbers and all your analytics and all this crap in the garbage. Once that puck drop in the playoffs, boy, there's an adrenaline flush that goes through your body. You don't even remember what the season was about.
Yeah. That is the truth. To the second season.
I'll be honest with you. I want the Rangers to play the Capitals right off the bat. I want the Rangers to play the Capitals right off the bat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I think the Capitals, it's their kryptonite.
Hey, I hope the hockey guards aren't listening right now. Hey,
I think we're going to be their kryptonite.
I will. God, from your mouth to God's ears, right? Let's see here. I did want to do this really quick because a lot of
those big powerful New York Islanders are tied with that really ferocious Toronto team on the road. Just like when the Rangers went into Buffalo. You know,
yeah,
get a shootout.
3-3. Yeah. Well, they're also playing with with Grice. So.
So you shouldn't try to beat them now because they don't have their top goalie in.
I didn't say that, Kat.
You're just using that as an excuse because Halak's not in.
All right, listen. We got very short time, and I've been asked to ask you about what you think about this kid, Brady Shea, because as a former defenseman. Okay. Positives, negatives, what do you like? What are you seeing? Share with the fans, because this was something I was supposed to ask you earlier, and we have about 4 minutes. So they want to know
I see so far. He's a great skater. He's big. He's not small. He's 6'2 and change. You know, he's well over 200 pounds. And it looks like he's got the ability to be a pretty good puck mover and jump in the play and all that stuff there. You know, and we'll see how he grows into it, as he gets more comfortable. You know, like, is he going to be a little more physical at times? Like, I think he needs to pick that up a little bit. But overall, I like what I see. He's got good mobility, good lateral movement, moves the puck well. And I think he's going to be one of those ones that's, you know, every now and then, you know, he's going to contribute offensively. I really do. And right off the bat, Paulie, size. He's got the size.
Can't teach size,
he's a big boy.
Yeah.
You know, 6'2 these days, and 6'2 with mobility these days is a pretty good thing. I like him.
Right. Okay. So, for everyone who asked me about Brady Shea, obviously, New York Ranger fans, and we talk about it all the time, it's funny, are very educated fans. They're very... They know the game. Next year, looking at
Islanders just got beat 4-3 by the Leafs, by the way, in a shootout. Just want to let you know.
I see that, big boy. I see it. with next year, it's a real good possibility for Brady Shea. So the fans wanted me to ask you about it. We asked you. And that's good stuff. So
I think you might see him around. I think for a while now. Be honest with you. You know, with Mark Stahl having spasms and Mac Ruff not being around for 2 weeks, I don't think he's going back to the minors soon. You know what I mean? He might end up being there the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, like you said,
think about it. There's not much time left in the season.
Well, the Rangers have what? 15 games left.
Yeah,
games remaining. So
something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have 30 seconds. So with that being said, I just want to say what a great show. What a lot of fun. Always hitting everything that we can as hard as we can. Gotsy, it's so much fun.
Absolutely.
With that being said, man, we'll catch everyone next week right here, Blog Talk Radio, the Instigators Hockey Show. Make sure you check out chriskotsopoulos.com. Make sure you check out kotsiesdesigns.com. Make sure you check out thefantasyguru.com. Hit us up on the Instigators Hockey Show at gmail.com. And hit us up on the Instigators Hockey Show in the Facebook group. For me and Kotze, it's always a pleasure bringing you programming and having fun with all the things that we like to spike up here on the show. With that being said, good night, everyone. We'll see you in a week.
Hey, guys. This is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show with some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.
Attention fantasy sports lovers. Love betting and playing fantasy sports, but can't seem to gain the winning edge? Do you need in-depth analysis and predictions? Now is the time to join TheFantasyGuru.com. Yep, I'll say it again. TheFantasyGuru.com. That's TheFantasyGuru.com. TheFantasyGuru.com can give you the fantasy winning edge. TheFantasyGuru.com analysis and predictions has already produced over $1 million in fantasy sports results. Get the fantasy winning edge now. Have fun and win. TheFantasyGuru.com. Join today.